Well, it's a big show. Welcome to the Fade Route. It's a big bad show tonight. With DNZ. Yeah, it's a big show. Here are your hosts. DNZ. Welcome everybody to this week's episode of the Fade Route with DNZ. I am Z, and we have a big show for you. As always, we have the division that nobody wants to win in the AFC. We have a big injury on a short week in Houston. But we are going to begin with the injury roundup in the NFL, particularly at the quarterback position. Some mild, some a little bit more serious, but definitely some power behind these names. We're going to start in Pittsburgh with Ben Roethlisberger. Has a little pectoral injury. We're monitoring that situation closely. So he pulled his boobs. Good job, Ben. Going out to Las Vegas, where leading passer Derek Carr is dealing with an ankle injury, but, I mean, we're still wrapping our minds around the fact that he's leading the league in passing, so kudos to Mr. Carr. Down south to Miami, Tua Tagovailoa got blindsided, and his ribs are all sorts of jacked up. He's out week to week, and Jacoby Brissett is going to take the helm of the ship that is the Miami Dolphins after they just got blowed out by the Buffalo Bills 35-0. And last but not least, we are going to end in Indianapolis, where Carson Wentz somehow on a sack managed to sprain both ankles at the same time. Now, I've heard of breaking ankles in basketball. I have never heard of somebody spraining their ankles simultaneously. And it looks like Jacob Eason is going to be the guy for the Colts if Carson Wentz can't go. But none of these are surprising. All of these quarterbacks have dealt with some level of injury in their career. Some are a little bit more serious than others. But who knows where this is going to go? And they are severe enough that if they miss a good deal of time, they could definitely put a dent in these teams, particularly ones that had playoff aspirations. And here he is. I've known this guy since our days on Carousel Shoes, flight crew through and through, the last QB in St. John's history. What's up, D? How's it going, man?
I just want to get one thing clear. Did you say Ben Roethlisberger has a little peck? Is that what you said? He's got a little pecker?
He's got a little peck. He's got a little teeny tiny peck injury.
I thought you said he had a little pecker.
Not that I know of. I'm not aware of that. And
You can remember, huh?
Not that I can recall. Not that I have seen or have heard of. But you know, he just pulled his man boob.
I think they're still picking up Tagovailoa's ribs off the field there. Man, he took some shot. That guy's always getting hurt too. These guys are repeat offenders. Carson Wentz, man, both your ankles? You gotta be kidding me, man. What the hell were you doing? How the hell did that happen? On the sack?
I don't understand it either. And he's trying to lobby his coach to stay in the game, but you can't walk. You're both like...
Carson, go sit down. Please, just get out the way. Just get out the way. Jacob!
Oh my goodness. But...
You're going in. Going in where? The game, asshole.
I thought you meant the locker room.
What do you mean? Carson's hurt? He can't go in? Why you sound so disappointed?
Why do you sound so disappointed?
How about them starting out? How about them starting out 0-2? What a disaster that is, huh?
What I'm most concerned about is their defense. I didn't think I would say that, but their secondary got exposed
big time twice.
It's time for the fade-in, where we give a nod to the trending sports stories of the week.
I mean, I know we're gonna jump into the, you know, the Ravens pretty early here, because you know, they beat the Kansas City Chiefs with a fourth and a few yards. Lamar goes the extra mile. He's finally got the monkey off his back. He's 1-3 against Mahomes. We're trying to figure out when he's going to be 500 against Mahomes and the Chiefs. But how about the Ravens defense getting torched 2 weeks in a row for 30-plus points? Now, I know they got injuries, but, I mean, the Ravens have always been a staple for defense.
Agreed. And it's definitely concerning, but this week, it's Mahomes and the Chiefs. So if you're going to get torched, you're going to get torched by Mahomes and the Chiefs. So it's one of those things that I'm not – this game is not the outlier game, in my opinion. What is the outlier is Lamar Jackson, 18-26, 239. A touchdown and two picks, and those picks were horrible. They were just – right at Tyrann Mathieu. It's just like he forgot what team he played for, I think, momentarily. And Tyrann Mathieu just, yes, sir, right here. Thank you very much. I'll take that. But what I found really interesting about this game, more so than the passing attack, is that the rushing game of the Ravens actually showed up with this patchwork crew. But this is veering very close into Josh Allen territory, because Lamar Jackson led the team in rushing and had two touchdowns as well. So it's one of those things that if it's bad for Josh Allen, it's got to be bad for Lamar Jackson as well. So 16 carries, 107 yards. And he was averaging almost 7 yards a carry, which is great, but you don't want that from your quarterback. Tyson Williams, solid game, 77 yards. Latavius Murray, 36 and a touch. Even got a little something from Devontae Freeman. But the Kansas City rush defense isn't exactly the best in the world. You can get yards on them. So it's good to see that the rushing attack is there, but you cannot go into this coming week thinking that you're confident in this team based on the performance that they put forward.
Well, I mean, the Ravens lead the league in rushing, right? Mm-hmm. And Kate, like you said, KC's run defense is terrible. I like the fact that they move Chris Jones out to the end, but he looks like a security guard on most option plays. Like, he's just not quick enough to react. They didn't even block him. They didn't even block Chris Jones to the point where they had to take him out whenever they thought an option was coming. I like the Ravens' chances if they have to play Kansas City again. What'd you think of the call? How did you like how Harbaugh attacked that last drive? What did you think of that?
Well, I mean, he was being aggressive. He wanted to make sure that Mahomes didn't get the ball back, but it's risky. It's definitely a risky call. But
well, it's a rhetorical question, right? It's like he wanted to go for it, right?
The
funny part was, is like in the moment I'm watching it, and I'm like, if I'm Lamar, like, nah, man, we're on the 40, man. But then again, I'm thinking Lamar's like, I don't want to give Pat back the ball. Like, right. You know, I just don't think what Lamar does is sustainable. I mean, some of the moves, some of the jukes, the burst of speed, it's great. It's nice to watch. It's fantastic. He needs to become a better passer. He needs to add another element to his game. And I think I was talking to a buddy of mine this week, and I really think the running quarterback dies with Lamar Jackson. I don't think teams after him are going to go get I'm not going to say he's one-dimensional, but that run-strong dimension of a quarterback. Like, Kyler Murray's a passer, man. That guy could throw. He's a baseball player. That guy's a baseball player. He could throw the ball. Lamar Allen up in Buffalo, he's a big kid. He got a big arm. I mean, he can run, but he got a big arm. I don't think that Michael Vick style, Lamar Jackson style, I think this is the end of the road for that kind of player.
I hesitate to put Lamar Jackson and Michael Vick in the same sentence just because Michael Vick could chuck it 70 yards in the air with accuracy.
Yeah.
That's the one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, from what I see of Lamar Jackson, it's a very line drive kind of throw, and that's pretty much all I see from him. I don't see a lot of touch. I don't see a lot of air under it. It's very just, it's very one-dimensional. You hesitate to use the term, I'm going to use the term. It is a very one-dimensional kind of...
And he's dynamic. Don't get me wrong. He's dynamic, but it's almost like what the Chiefs get into sometimes, right? We've talked about the Chiefs offense where it's all about getting their receivers, their tight ends need time to get into their routes and get downfield. Yeah. So Pat can drop back, he can run around a bit, and then chuck it. But every once in a while, you want Pat to take that Brady drop where he gets to his spot and then he whips the 15 yard out. Or right. he whips the 25 yard comeback. Like, you want to see that every once in a while. And you don't get that with Pat, and you sure as hell don't get it with Lamar. But I just think in this league, you do need that element.
No, you absolutely do. You need to have – if you are going to have legs, you could better make sure you can deliver the ball too. And that's where a guy like Kyler Murray is a little bit more differentiated than a guy like Lamar Jackson, because – Kyler Murray is elusive as hell. Like, he's elusive. I find that the way Lamar Jackson runs, it's not to elude, but he's actively trying to run for yardage, whereas Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, they're extending the play.
I get what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just a different style, and it's not something that's conducive to a long career. No, I completely agree with you in that regard. But speaking of guys who may not have long careers based on
just before, parts, but before we go on to the next, subject, I do want to give a lot of credit to the Ravens defense because the game plan was outstanding. We're gonna take Tyreek Hill out of this game. We're gonna put three players on him, and you're gonna have to throw it to Robinson, Pringle, Hardman and Kelsey, but Tyreek Hill is not beating us today, and worked. I don't know if it'll work the next time around, but it worked on Sunday.
That's the thing about Andy Reid's offense, is that it's probably not going to work again because Andy Reid is a savvy coach. So the only thing I think that might be an issue is that Eric Bieniemy's name is kind of getting tossed about with USC, and there might be a distraction in that regard, but Andy Reid calls the plays anyway. So it might be a minor distraction, but I think Mr. Hill will be more prepared for what the Baltimore Ravens throw at next time, for sure. But you know what? On the other side of the ball, though, if you look at the offensive side for Baltimore, Hollywood Brown had a huge game too. 113 with a touch. That's probably one of the better games of his career. And if he can be that number one receiver, because if you look at him, like right now, who would you say is the number one receiver? Andrews?
I think they really want Sammy Watkins to be that guy. And they want to be able to run Brown on the deep stuff and run him out of the slot. But it's hard. Andrews hasn't really shown up this year yet. No. I mean, he's got, I think, 6-7 catches in the two games, no touchdowns. Meanwhile, this guy, I think, was either first or second in touchdowns for a tight end last year. I think he had 10 or 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, well, he certainly is getting paid like it, that's for sure. And I wonder, as the season goes along and you only have Brown and Watkins really performing, is it going to, are they going to regret not trading for Julio Jones like a couple of guys? I'm just going to say us suggested.
Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com.
But speaking of guys who may not have long careers, based on what we've seen so far, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson have all struggled in a limited sample size. I will be fair. It's a limited sample size, only 2 games. Is there anything to be optimistic about with these three?
I mean, if you're Jacksonville, you tell yourself, we'll build around Lawrence. He's got an awesome arm, and he's shown that. And they got a rookie head coach. I mean, yeah, he's been in college, but this is a new game for him. If you're the Bears, you feel Nagy should be fired at some point this season. And they got a steal in Justin Fields, right? I mean, yeah, you traded up for him, but you never anticipated that he was going to be there. But if you're the New York Jets, I guess you're excited about basketball season being around the corner. I mean,
that was brutal.
From Zach Wilson's first 10 passes, 4 of them were intercepted. While Mac Jones is on the other sideline, controlling the game, did not turn over the ball, only had, I think, 170 yards passing. He didn't light it up, but he got the first win of the season. And it was at MetLife Stadium. It was against Zach Wilson. The Jets offense looks inept, and they're just awful.
Yeah. And, you know, Robert Saleh, his reputation is a rah-rah guy, but you don't really see that much on the sidelines. Usually hands on his knees, doubled over. So...
That's already a
bad look. He's doubled over. It's only week 2.
Well, the thing about it is like I always said that he needed to get rid of the rah-rah once he became a head coach. But, I mean, I didn't watch the whole game. I watched the fourth quarter, and you got his defense of, like, getting stuffs and getting sacks, and they're pounding their chest and screaming like they got a 15-point lead, and the stadium's empty, guys. It's like, what are you pounding your chest about? They're running the ball. The whole world knows they're running the ball. So what, you stopped them? They got 22 points. You got 3.
Exactly. But of the 3 rookie quarterbacks, it should be noted, and it's pretty, you know, it's innocuous. It's innocuous at the time, but Zach Wilson has the best complete percentage of the 3. So think about that for a second.
Trevor Lawrence, just trying to give him some doubt, man.
I'm grasping at straws here. Of the 3, granted, Justin Fields has only thrown 15 passes. So, you know, that's a 53.3 percentage, whereas Wilson's at 55.7. So, hey, something to hang your hat on. However, when you've had 70 attempts and they've already gone to the other team... That's not good.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how people feel. I don't know how Jets fans feel. I don't know how front offices feel. I mean, that's why I say, you know, Jacksonville, I feel like they've got to be optimistic about it, right? It's like, yeah, we got the best quarterback in the draft. He got the biggest arm. He's showing it. He's making mistakes, but you know what? We'll get a top 5 pick again, and you know, we'll get better. I mean, we'll get better. And if you're the Bears, you're like, well, you know, we landed this guy in the double digits. We traded up for him, And Andy Dalton's really the guy, and Matt Nagy and the system is awful, so okay. But if you're the Jets, it's like, what are you hanging your head on? That's why I'm saying I can't see where the optimism is there. Like, when Jet fans left that game, what were they saying to themselves? Are you saying, well,
here we go again?
Are you saying, well, we're rebuilding? Is that what just took place in that building?
They've been rebuilding for years.
And then you look at the Patriots and like, wait a minute. That guy looks all right. Like, do we need to take this kid at two?
No. Clearly, like, if you go back to our draft boards, not Shays and not the Kuipers and not the so-called experts, alleged expert. Now, we might have to start doing that too. In addition to alleged superstar, alleged expert. We had Mac Jones up there. Like, it goes without saying how highly we thought of him. But he is clearly the class of this quarterback class right now.
Well, the 49ers got to feel good too, right? We're 2-0.
Yeah,
we're 2-0. Our guy's learning every day.
He is. Why? Because he's behind Jimmy G. There's a veteran presence there.
Who's what? 26. Who's 26-8? I think in the regular season or some stupid number. 28-5.
I think 26-8. I think you're right. It's 26-8. But you know he doesn't lose. If he starts, the dude doesn't lose unless it's the Super Bowl. So, you know, he's definitely like Trey Lance is a good spot behind a veteran with a capable team. Fields, I mean, he's in the morass that is the Chicago Bears because you have the two quarterbacks plus him. You still have Foles, you still have Dalton, and you have this just tug of war that's going on because you had Matt Nagy being non-committal and then a PR guy coming out and saying that Dalton will start once he's healthy again. It's a mess in Hallis Hall. There's a mess. It's a fucking mess. It's a shit show.
But Chicago did win, okay? And another team that won over the weekend were the Cowboys. That comes down to earth in the win. But does this team, maybe this is the recipe for them to be victorious, is to have balance with Zeke and Pollard and Dak and the whole ensemble there. What were your thoughts?
Well, it was a good game. It definitely was a good game. Justin Herbert didn't have his best performance, even though he threw for 338 and a touchdown. 31 of 41. He was efficient for the most part. He just two picks. Not a great end to it. Dak Prescott's numbers don't look good at all. You're looking at 23 of 27. Yeah, efficient, but only 237 yards. Not exactly matriculating the ball down the field, and it's not like you're facing the 85 Bears. The only person I fear in that secondary is Derwin James. So it's one of those things that for the Dallas Cowboys to get where they want to go, I've said it before, I'm going to say it again, I'm going to say it till I'm blue in the face, as blue as that star in their helmet. They need to be balanced. They need to have the run to set up the pass. And if they're going to have a two-headed monster and Ezekiel Elliott, they're onto something here. I mean, they combined for 180 yards and two touchdowns. And if you were to tell me that Tony Pollard would outpace Ezekiel Elliott, I would have thought that Ezekiel Elliott got hurt. But no, apparently Ezekiel Elliott is healthy. So this is the key to success. It's always been the key to success with the Dallas Cowboys. What have they won without a franchise running back, without Emmitt Smith? They didn't win Jack in that era. So you need the run to set up the pass to have a balanced attack. The receiving core, if CeeDee Lamb's going to drop passes, it's going to be a long season. They need a tight end. Jarwin, only 37 yards receiving. Schultz only had 18 yards. So, nothing that's going to light the world on fire. Amari Cooper, only at 24 yards receiving. So, if this is going to be the team, they very well better be running the ball down people's throats with this two-headed monster.
Yeah, I mean, I like the balanced offense. You know, the first week of the season, they had a chance to do what Baltimore did, right? Mm-hmm. They should have went for it on fourth down. You have Zeke back there, Pollard, got Dak. Don't give the other team a chance. They gave Brady the ball. He comes down and he wins the game for them. I was actually really impressed with the Dallas defense on Sunday. They held the Charger offense in check. I know you were saying those numbers for Herbert, 338, but he hasn't really lit it up this season. And I liked what Dallas was able to do. I mean, they scored in every quarter, but I mean, they had first 8 points in the second and then two field goals for the rest of the game. And that was it. That's pretty good for that Charger. That Charger team is explosive. And they have Jared Cook now as their tight end, and Eckler's healthy and he's back, and we all know how good Keenan Allen can be. They held the Chargers offense in check. They were impressive. And this was the Chargers opening up again in their new stadium with their fans, and they played well. Interesting thing about Dallas, though, offensively, 14 points in the first quarter and then two field goals in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that's one thing, though. I know you said they were opening a bit. I know you're saying that the Chargers were home, but if you didn't listen to it on mute and you actually had the volume up, it sounded like there were more Chargers fans than Charger fans there. So
that probably was true.
The Charger fans do not travel. If it's out, they're outside San Diego, they're not coming.
Tony Pollard averaged 8.4 yards a touch. That's absurd. Absurd.
Tony Pollard's a decent backup. He definitely is a decent backup. And, you know, he can carry the load, at least for a little bit, if Ezekiel Elliott's hurt. So, I like him. I like that backfield mix. They just need to not abandon the run. If you abandon the run and you have Dak Prescott chuck 50-something passes, something is very, very wrong. Something is very wrong.
You can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Speaking of something being very wrong, apparently nobody wants to win the AFC South. You have the salty, no-account Jaguars. We've gone over them. We have the Indianapolis Colts, both 0-2. The Titans, 1-1, but they had to go to overtime and beat the Seahawks to get to 1-1, which leaves that little engine that could, the Houston Texans, in a first-place tie. So, who's the best team in this division right now?
Man, if Watson was the starter of the Texans, I think the Texans would be 2-0. Jacksonville's awful. We've spoken about that already. Titans do not look good on either side of the ball. I didn't really think Arthur Smith was that much of a guru, but clearly he knows what he's doing, because A.J. Brown, I know he had, you know, knee surgery, but he can't catch. I saw him drop passes yesterday. Julio looks old. They literally had to jump on Henry's back and let him carry them to that win yesterday. The dude was exhausted at the end of the game. Well, Wentz is hurt again up in Indianapolis. The Colts seem to be done already. Without Watson on the Texans, I guess I'm going to have to lean towards Tennessee, you know, just because of the star players they have. But they need to get their shit together.
If you're looking at plus minus, if you're looking at differential, the Tennessee Titans are a minus 22.
That's crazy.
So that's fucking awful. Awful. But it's not even the worst in their division. Jacksonville's a minus 26. Houston, it's sneaky, but they're a plus 6. They're above water in that regard. But, you know, I don't trust them as far as I can throw them. And we're going to get to Arthur Smith later, at least part of Arthur Smith in the alleged superstar of the week conversation. But, like, let's not crown his ass, because the Falcons are a minus 49. So, oh my goodness. It's hard to say. It's most likely the Tennessee Titans, just for the simple fact that they have the explosive players. They have the Julio Jones. They have the King Henry. They have Ryan Tannehill, who seemed to figure it out last year. You know, they made some key plays in the game against Seattle that ultimately forced them to go to overtime. Bud Dupree was living in the backfield. So, I mean, it's only two games. Let's not do overreaction Tuesday, overreaction Wednesday. So, I mean, the Titans, as of right now, they're the only ones who are on a winning streak. So, oh, this is going to be a long year in that division.
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor is out Thursday. So, do the Texans have to start Watson against Carolina? I mean, I know they've already announced that Davis Mills is going to be the starter, but this doesn't seem the right play here at all.
It goes to show you what they think of Mr. Watson. If he was in camp the entire time and he practiced, and they still won't let him anywhere near the field, it goes to show you that they don't want any level of distraction, because the conversation will not be about football. I think that is clear. It's just going to be about the 22 sexual assault allegations. But I don't know. I got this feeling that somebody might be getting a phone call. One Mr. Cameron Newton. I could definitely see that. I mean, is it likely? No. But is it worth? Is he worth a look? Absolutely, he's worth a look. But if you look at Davis Mills' career numbers in college, a 65, 66% passer rating, 18 touchdowns, only threw 438 passes at Stanford. So we'll see what he is. But if there's any indication, he's not going to be that much. I don't think this is going to be a Tom Brady, Drew Bledsoe moment. But it does feel like they're punting on the season already. But let's not diminish what Tyrod Taylor did before he went out with that pulled hamstring. Two games, small sample size, three touchdowns, 416 yards, and almost a 71% passer rating. Completion percentage, excuse me. So I think this signals that they are willing to punt on the season because they didn't have any expectations to begin with.
I mean, the situation is so ridiculous, right? I actually feel bad for Davis Mills starting on a short week against the number one defense in Carolina. Once upon a time, Davis Mills was the number one high school quarterback in the country. Injuries in college happened to him and kind of pushed him down. But I guess he's ready to enter the three-ring circus of starting quarterback in the NFL as a rookie. If you recall, in the summer, I said I was interested to see how well he would play because I was a little bit of a fan back in the day.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a tall order. I mean, if he's going to win Rookie of the Year, he's got to start now.
I mean, it's a short week. It's against Carolina. Carolina has a very strong defense. They are ranked first in the league in many categories. So if this is going to be, if this is going to be his rise to superstardom and not his rise to also ran, he better have it. But what does this say to you? What is the Texans' decision say to you about where Watts stands in the pecking order and what they feel about their season?
I mean, it baffles the shit out of me. Like, I can't believe that if you're a Texans fan, you've got to be really pissed off at this situation, right? Because your team wins the opener. Not a lot of people chose them to win. Again, against Jacksonville, but whatever. But even in the most recent game they played, they only lost by 10 points to a good team. You're telling me that if Deshaun Watson was playing, it wouldn't be a narrower defeat or maybe even result in a win? And you look at the division is winnable. Like, what are we doing here? Like, what are we trying to do here? Like, that's the question I have. Is this because you signed this man to such a large contract that you can't just let him go or trade him for anything? I mean, really, what is he worth at this point? Like, what team is forget it. Like, no team is going to offer you the bounty you're looking to get for him. So what are you trying to do? You're just going to ruin his career? And what's the NFL doing? Like, get this investigation over with so that this guy can play. We want to see him play. I want to see him play. I mean, I'm not saying that what he did was right, but technically we don't even know the details of the ins and outs. All we have are allegations at this point.
True. He has been placed on administrative leave. He was allowed in the building. He was practicing with the team.
He's not on the exempt list. He can play.
Yeah.
So what's the angle? Like, you think by not playing him, somebody's going to come out and say, oh yeah, give us Deshaun Watson?
Well,
like, is that what they're thinking? They think Miami's going to call them? Is that what they want? They might want the Miami Dolphins to call them?
I think they are. There is an element of protecting your investment. There definitely is. Just kind of make sure he's not damaged goods for if and when they decide to trade him. But the other story in the news today from basketball is that Ben Simmons is not going to report. He wants out. And to me, these run very similar in terms of perceived value versus actual value. Because minus the sexual assault allegations, Ben Simmons is in a very similar position. The organization views him one way, but everybody else views him a different way because of mitigating circumstances. For Watson, those mitigating circumstances is the 22 sexual assault allegations. For Ben Simmons, it's our eyes. So, you know, would it behoove these guys to get in and kind of play nice and then go from there? Deshaun Watson's already done that. And being, you know, they're not progressing towards a trade from what I've seen. They're sitting on him. They're sitting on him and they're letting it play out. So,
but the problem I have, but the problem I have is in the Ben Simmons situation, we know the caliber of a player he is, and he's not worth his contract. And I don't know any team other than the Warriors that might be willing to trade for him. And he's in a situation where he is saying that he's not going to play for the team. On the flip side, with the Texans, we know how good Deshaun Watson is. He is a top 5, top 10 quarterback level of talent.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know what you're going to get when he gets on the field. And I haven't heard him say that he won't play for the Texans. It sounds like the Texans are not willing to play him. And if you're not willing to play him, then trade him.
Well, that's where they are right now. But what initiated the trade talks in the beginning was this his lack of willingness to play for this organization if they were going to at least consult him on certain things like, you know, hiring the coach. So there's some elements there for sure, but Deshaun Watson would definitely make this team better, and clearly the organization has set forth an agenda to where they're not going to make that happen. So if you're a Houston Texans fan, you're just going to ride it out for the foreseeable future and see what they can get for him if they decide to move him at all. But
how does it end? How does it end? How does it end? I don't see how it ends.
I think they just end that they bite the bullet and they take 10 cents on the dollar.
That's what's going to happen, right?
They're going to have to do that. They're going to have to.
I almost feel like they're going to get to a point where they're going to have to cut him. Because who's gonna trade for him? Every other team has all the leverage. Yeah. You can't go into the end of the season like this, because you think once you get to the draft, a team's gonna be like, oh yeah, let me give them all my draft capital for Deshaun Watson. They'd rather just take a player in the draft because they don't want to pay Deshaun Watson. Like, what do you think? Denver's going to come in and say, oh yeah, we'll give you all that trade capital for this alleged sex offender because we don't think he's going to do it again.
Correct.
Pittsburgh's going to be like, yeah, well, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to go and give you their draft picks for this guy who didn't play in all of 2021. That's the other thing. He's not playing. What happens if I trade for him and the first thing he does is... he sprains both ankles like Carson Wentz. Is that what they're hoping for? They're hoping the Indianapolis Colts give him a call? A little in-division action?
That would be interesting for sure.
I just don't see the angle in this where the Texans end up on top. And I also wonder, is this going to plan? Is this what they play? It's like when the GM came over there from New England, is this how he thought it was going to go? Like, all right, yeah, I'll have a high ask on Deshaun Watson, and somebody's going to pay me. Somebody's going to take him. Somebody's going to want him. Is that how you thought this was going to go? I don't think
he did a deep enough dive on the personal side of it, if that's the case. You know, it's that player evaluation, but not the personal evaluation. It's like 22 allegations that really blow some holes in your fucking plan. 22 allegations. Really hampers your trade value, we'll say.
If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app. It's time for the mail route on the Fade Route. If you want to join us, email faderoutemail@gmail.com. Questions, comments, picks, you name it, faderoutemail@gmail.com.
Guys and gals, we have a full mailbox for you today. And remember, if you want to get your email featured, hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com and you might be featured on this segment. Our first email comes from Allie in Gainesville. Hey guys, love the show. Alabama just barely beat my Gators. Is that a hiccup, or is there something more there?
I mean, it's Gainesville, man. It's a tough place to play. The Swamp, man, I mean, when you're in the SEC and you got to go into Georgia and win a game, you got to go into Alabama and win a game, you got to go to Auburn, LSU. It's always tough. Winning is winning. I would not look into it as more than just it was a tight contest.
What gives you pause about it and a little bit of hesitation is the fact that Alabama gave up 4 rushing touchdowns. Like, you know, like, that's a lot. You definitely something you need to clean up there. So I know Nick Saban in the post-game press conference was not happy. The defensive lapses were many, and he is not shy about, you know, throwing people under the bus. We know this about Coach Saban. But I feel bad for their next opponent because they're have an ornery Alabama team just waiting to blow their doors off. And if anything, it shows you the detriment of like buying into your own hype or reading your own press clippings. Because granted, again, just like Miami, when they beat Miami, Florida's not a schlub team. They're the number 11 ranked team in the country. So for them to narrowly pull off this upset, and it boils down to a really bad 2-point conversion call where it looked like an RPO, but both guys started playing tug of war and nobody wanted to let go of the ball.
I saw that.
I'll take it. No, I want it. Shit. That was pretty ugly. So there is a little element of luck there that they were able to narrowly escape. But if this is the blueprint and Alabama doesn't get it cleaned up, they're going to lose in the title game. They're going to get there. I mean, it's a fait accompli that they're going to get there, but there's definitely a blueprint to beat them. Email number 2 comes from Rashawn in La Brea. Okay, cool. California. Hey, guys. Manny Machado and Fernando Tatis Jr. got into it in dugout. And Machado out Tatis. Was this leadership by Manny, or is it cracks in the foundation?
I mean, I just think they're frustrated. I mean, they were supposed to compete for a division title this year with the Dodgers, and the Giants stole their thunder. I never seen Manny as a leader. I don't even know. Can a dirty player be a leader? What do you think?
That's a fantastic question, actually. Maybe we need to ask Pete Rose.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I don't see it that way. I just, it is what it is. Their season's coming to a crashing end.
So, to kind of set the scene for everybody, Fernando Tatis got called out in a third strike, and he started to give it back to home plate umpire Phil Cuzzi, and Jason Tingler involved, and he got run to protect Tatis. And Tatis would not let it go. So Machado's trying to get him to get back out to shortstop, screaming, "It's not about you. Let's play fucking baseball. Do your job. Your job is to play baseball." And I don't know if, now that you bring it up, I don't know if a dirty player can be a leader, but that might be the most leader thing that I've seen Manny Machado do, just because he was trying to. He might have gone about it the wrong way because they had to be separated before going out and playing next to each other on the left side of the infield. But, you know, if he was trying to spur on Fernando Tatis to kind of refocus and put his head back on straight, right, I think he was trying his best. And it definitely was leadership, but you're 100% right about their season. They're only three games over 500. They're barely hanging on in the wild card, but they're on the outside looking in, but they're close. You're looking at, they're 20 and a half games out of first place. So, you know, their season's pretty much wrapping up. Pitching has not been what they wanted it to be. And they definitely, you know, this is definitely a learning experience from everybody, but kudos to Manny Machado for actually getting in his face and not, like, kowtowing to the kid. Last but not least, from Ron in Detroit, Isaiah Thomas thinks the Nets can't win without Kyrie Irving. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Isaiah's right. And that's sad because the Nets have so much talent, but they are not going to be able to win without it. If Kyrie was healthy for the Bucks series, the Nets probably go to the finals. I think it's the same thing for this season. They're going to need him to play like 50 games, and they're going to need him to play every single playoff game. I don't really believe in Kevin Durant because all the championships he won were with Golden State, and they were a championship team before he got there. So, you know, and James Harden is probably one of the best scorers in the league. And they're stacked, but at the end of the day, you need a point guard to facilitate the ball. And I know a lot of people don't like Kyrie, but man, he could get to the dish better than anybody.
This one's tough, because when you first told me about this and you brought it to my attention, I thought you were talking about the Isaiah Thomas that's actually active in the NBA. So I was like, why are you telling me this? Is he trying to petition for a job? But then I'm like, oh, you mean Zeek? And oh, well, that makes a hell of a lot of sense now. Because they can win running a point forward system. It just doesn't work. Right? Point forward generally does not work unless your name is LeBron James. And even then, he needed a point guard. And funny enough, he needed Kyrie. But he didn't hear that from me. But this team is... This is the team that needs to go. You have an all-star at every position. This makes that Laker team with Karl Malone and Gary Payton blush. To where you have a backup in Patty Mills, who has a solid reputation. Patty Mills is a very good point guard. If Kyrie Irving does not play, Patty Mills can step in and do a representative job. Is he going to be the superstar that Kyrie Irving alleges? Probably not. But I think he can definitely be a steadying influence like he was in San Antonio. But ultimately, this team is an ensemble. Much like the Warriors in the past that you mentioned, all of the guys need to come in, they need to play their parts, and they need to play them to perfection. Anything less than that is going to be something that gets exposed just like this past year, and that's going to keep them from getting to their ultimate goal, which is an NBA title. So Kyrie, for all the baggage that he brings, his skill is definitely needed in this particular lineup.
Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you.
The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award.
All right, boys and girls, last week we awarded our first Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. We distributed the Alleged Superstar statue, the ass. So, we're going to find out who this week's ass is. Who is going to get the ass this week? I have a few that may have earned a nomination. And we're going to put up a poll on Twitter, on our Twitter account, at FadeRouteDNZ, once we're done with our program here. And you guys can vote and decide who is the alleged superstar of the week in your eyes. But for me, this is starting to become old hat. Gary Sanchez, another gaffe behind the plate, dropping the pop-up, leading to a 7-run inning. Gerrit Cole, the $320 million man, who got lit the fuck up by the Cleveland soon-to-be Guardians. And last but not least, Matty Ice himself, Matt Ryan, Mr. Two Pick Sixes against the Buccaneers. And he's not a superstar, but I'm going to throw him in there anyway because I'm pissed off about the result. Dexter Lawrence for jumping offside when you had the game won. Dustin Hopkins misses the field goal for the football team. The Giants should have won that game, but Dexter Lawrence jumps offside. I was in the car with my girl. We're listening to the game on the radio, and both of us turn to each other, and we knew the game was over. Those are mine. What do you got, Dave?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. Gerrit Cole. Jeez, are you kidding me, man? You're supposed to be the Cy Young Award winner. You getting killed by the Indians? Mr. I'm a Yankee for life? Good Lord, man. They needed that game. They needed those wins. You're supposed to be the dude. Another one we agree on is Matt Ryan. Fucking Matt Ryan. God. 35 for 46. 300 yards. 2 touchdowns. 3 interceptions. Dude just couldn't stay off the ground. Ball's getting tipped in the air. He's constantly laying on the ground. I just feel so bad for Matt Ryan, man. I just think it's awful.
Does he have a safe word so that if she hears it in the press conference, she knows it's coming home?
She knows it's over? Like, gosh, man. Because Tom Brady just came in your division and she's running your shit. Good Lord. Do you have any humility, dude? Josh Rosen had to come into the game. Josh Rosen had to come into the damn game. This guy.
Oh my goodness.
And Zach Wilson, jeez, first 2 passes in your home debut were picked off. 19 of 33, 210 yards with 4 picks. Come on, bro. And then in the press conference, he's like, yeah, they should boo me. Oh, come on, man. Don't say that. Just come on.
Did you hear the post game on SNY with Leger Douzable and with Bart Scott?
No.
That they were throwing him under the bus for lack of accountability because he was using the word we instead of I.
Oh. Is that BYU stuff?
Apparently. Like that, you know, because when I think of accountability, I think of Bart Scott.
So, all the time. Can't wait.
And we can't wait to hear from you guys on the Twitter poll. So once it posts, you got a day. Choose wisely at Fade Route DNZ.
Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to teespring.com, type The Fade Store into the search bar, and have access to our sweatshirts, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, tank tops, and much more on the way. That's teespring.com. Type in The Fade Store at the search bar and show your boys some love. Rep the Fade Route brand only at The Fade Store. Only on teespring.com. Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week.
All right, boys and girls, it is time for the option for week 3. How'd you do last week, brother?
10-6, not bad. I mean, you know, 10-6. I'm happy. It's pretty good. I'm staying above 500.
Yeah, 10-6 is solid. That's where I was too. 425. The 4 o'clock window wrecked me. I went. Oh my goodness. I went 3-3. In the 4 o'clock. It was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. So hopefully we can clean that up this week and really pump those numbers up, because 10-6, those are rookie numbers. Let's see what we can do for the guys and gals that are listening. Thursday night, the Davis Mills debut. Panthers at Texans.
Yeah, I think the Panthers keep it going, man. So I'm going to go with the Panthers.
I have no idea who Davis Mills' back is. So if anything happens to him, they are SOL. Panthers roll pretty easily.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like, how desperate are the Texans not to play this guy? Like, what if Davis Mills gets hurt? He has a history of getting hurt. What are they going to do? I guess you're right. They're going to have to call Cam.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something. Or, like, I mean, you can't even go get Peterman from Vegas because Mariota's on IR. So maybe you call the Bills for Trubisky?
Yep. Yep.
I don't know. Something. Or Nick Foles? I don't know. But not to a sorry no-count team. Not at all. We're in the 1 o'clock hour on Sunday. The 0-2 Colts at the 1-1 Titans.
Wow, I can't believe I'm going to say this. The Colts are going to start out 0-3. I mean, it's hard to pick a team that's got a quarterback with two bad ankles. And Jacob Eason starting, man. So, yeah, I'm going with the Titans.
I'm not going to say the Titans figured anything out when they beat the Seahawks, but this Colts team is bad right now. It is absolutely bad right now, and Derrick Henry should have no problem running over the Colts team. Titans in a row. Falcons at Giants.
This is a tough one. I mean, the Falcons have the worst defense in the league. The Giants are awful offensively. But you got to think, if the Giants lose to the Falcons this weekend, their season's over. Like, so I'm going to go with the Giants. I think they have some humility and they'll win the game.
At the end of the day, the Falcons have a minus 49 differential. That stick line.
You think Matt Ryan's wife like leads the? That's what she says when he sits down to dinner every night. She's like, you know, you guys are minus 49. I'm just telling you that.
It's like, I'm just, you know.
We're not having sex until you get above 500, above zero.
Can you pass the mashed potatoes, please?
Damn it.
This is gonna be ugly. As a Giant fan, I'm disappointed in the defense. It should be better. Is you already have Kenny Golladay talking shit on the sideline. Whether it's to Jason Garrett or Daniel Jones, it doesn't matter, because he's already barking. Dude, you chose to come here. I'm throwing that out there. If you weren't traded, free agent contract. If the Giants go 0-3, Jason Garrett probably gets canned. But maybe that's a good thing. It might open up the playbook a little bit, because, you know, the clapper, he likes to play it a little conservatively. But I can't see how the Falcons – muster anything up after seeing that sorry no-account performance against the Bucs. So I'm taking the Giants, too. Chargers at Chiefs.
Chargers at Chiefs. You know what? I'm going to go with the Chargers. I just feel like they've got to win. I feel like they have to win this game. I think it's a shootout. And surprisingly, the Chargers are like number one or number two against the pass. So I'm going with the Chargers in an upset.
The Kansas City run game has not been great. Edwards-Helaire had a crucial fumble. So that's definitely something that you need to look out for. That being said, it's going to be close. I can see Butker kicking the game-winning field goal, so I'm going to go with the Chiefs by 3. Narrowest of margin. Bengals at Steelers.
Yeah. I am actually going to take the Bengals over the Steelers. I just don't like the way the Steelers look, man. I mean, you lose to Oakland? Come on. Oakland's awful. I don't care if Carr is leading the league in passing. They didn't even bring their top running back with them on the road. I'm taking the Bengals.
Steelers lost 6 guys, and if Ben Roethlisberger can't go, that makes 7. So the most important thing is that TJ Watt's probably not playing, which means Joe Mixon's going to wild. I'm going to take the Bengals too. Bears at Browns.
Yeah, you know, I think this is going to be a close game. It's going to be closer than people think, but I'm still going to take the Browns.
Over under Justin Fields getting sacked 4 times.
Over.
Oof. It's going to be a long day for Mr. Fields.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the Browns. Clowney, Garrett are going to meet in the middle. And the one thing that you need to be concerned about is that Juice Landry went on IR. So we're going to see what Baker Mayfield has for weapons, if it's going to be Njoku or if it's going to be some other guys. And got to keep an eye out, as usual, for where's Pucci? Odell Beckham, is he going to play? We'll see what happens. But I like the Browns either way because of their run game and their defense. Ravens at Lions.
Shit. Did you watch the game last night? How did the Lions get a Monday Night Football, for crying out loud? Digging the Ravens.
It's not going to be as bad as you think it is, but Ravens are definitely going to win. You know, the Lions play with pride. They definitely, they're trying. They're not very good, but they're trying. So you got to give them some credit for that, but the Ravens are going to win. Saints at Pats.
Yeah, I think the Pats win this game. I was going back and forth on this, but I think the Pats pull out the win.
Will the real Jameis Winston please stand up? Is it the guy who threw for 5 touchdowns and who only threw for 70 yards? Those are two fucking extremes. Like, there has to be somewhere in the middle. The only thing that he didn't do was throw 5 picks. So, like, you got that going for you, but you're facing the Patriots. You may very well throw 5 picks this week.
How about Sam Darnold starting off 2-0, man?
Good for Sam. Good for Sam. And I'm taking the Pats in this one. And, yeah, they're going to be in – well, they're not going to be in last place because they have the Falcons in that division. So, there's that. So, there's that. Cardinals, who barely won versus the Jaguars.
I'm taking the Jags. I think the Jags get their first win this weekend.
That Cardinal narrow win because of the missed field goal definitely gives you a little bit of pause, but Trevor Lawrence hasn't played great, and Chandler Jones, J.J. Watt, those guys are going to get in that backfield, so I'm going to take the Cardinals on the road. Washington football team at Buffalo.
Yeah, I flipped this one a couple of times, but ultimately I think Buffalo will win the game.
Heineke, not too bad, but again, it was against the Giants. So we'll see what happens when he plays a better team. So this is tough. It's definitely a toss-up game. I'm going to go with home field advantage. I'm going to take Buffalo as well. Jets at
Broncos. Don't even start even what we're talking about.
We're in the 4 o'clock hour.
Just stop. Just stop. Go to the next one. It's not even.
So he's got 5 already.
They're gonna lose to Sam, and they're gonna lose to Bridgewater, both quarterbacks who played for them over the last 3 years.
That's oh man. But how many Wilson this weekend?
Oh, against Denver? Jeez. Mm-hmm. At least 3. I'd say 3.
I'd say 3 is a good over under. I'm gonna go 4. He's already got 5, so why not? I'll take the over on that one. Dolphins at Raiders.
This would have been a good game if Tua was not injured. But I'm going to take the Raiders, even though they're banged up.
Raiders are going to 3-0. Jacoby Brissett did not show any mastery of the offense. And Dolphins just got wrecked by Buffalo. So
35-0. How do you not even kick a field goal? It was your home opener. It's your home opener. I have their kicker on my fantasy team. Awful. You can't even kick a field goal, guys.
It's an ass whooping. What more can you say? It was an ass. So, and the beatings will continue because the Raiders are not as bad as we thought they were.
Yeah.
Seahawks at Vikings.
I'm taking the Vikings. The Vikings got to win. They lost 2 close games. They got to get a win. Or Zimmer's going to get fired.
Zimmer's on the chopping block.
Zimmer's got to stop talking shit about his players. He's always talking shit about his players. Like, he used to talk shit about the quarterback when, I forget his name, and now he's talking shit about the kickers. Like, dude, hop off. Like, your defense is so great. Give fucking 30 points to a baseball player, dude.
Mike Zimmer is very big on the bravado, and it's his system that drives success. So this is kind of who he is. That being said, I'm going to take the Seahawks on this one. I just don't feel that Russell Wilson is going to lose to this team. And the Vikings are decent, but they're not.
They are.
They're not great.
No, but they're good.
Right now, they're finding ways to lose. Eventually,
they're better than. The saying is you are what your record says you are. But indeed. I think they're better than.
Particularly on offense. That offense plays. Defense is suspect. It's been suspect since last year.
That's run by Zimmer. It's his fucking defense. It's always his defense.
So that tells you. But to be fair, last year, they let so many guys go in free agency that they were starting so many rookies. So, okay, you figure this year's put up or shut up time. And he's still shit in the bed. So he is definitely running out of excuses. We can agree on that one. The last of our 425 tilts. Bucks at Rams. Somebody's got to go.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game. I think the Bucks just have too many offensive weapons. And I'm not a believer in the Rams' new defense. I'm not a believer in Stafford. He did not look that great this past weekend. So, Bucks.
It's going to be close. But for the sake of argument, I'm going to take the Rams on this one. For the only reason that the Bucs secondary looks shot right now. The fact that they're even considering calling Richard Sherman gives you all you need to know about where that secondary is right now. So I'm going to take the Rams, and you know it's going to be a good game regardless. Sunday night special, the 1-1 Packers go to San Francisco to face the Niners.
49ers.
This one's tough. This one's a little tough. I'm going to have to go with the Niners as well, even though I'm a little perturbed by their running back situation. But that Packers defense is trash. It's just trash.
Yep. I might pick up Jimmy G in fantasy this weekend just because of that.
And your Monday night delight, Eagles at Cowboys.
I am going to take the Cowboys, but I think it's going to be a good game.
It should be a good game. It better be a good game. Ezekiel Elliott.
This is their home opener.
Yeah. But Ezekiel Elliott needs to be the star of this show. Dak Prescott just needs to turn around and hand the ball off. So I'm going to take the Cowboys over under a combined one. Ran for 180 this week. A combined 220 with Pollard and Elliott.
Under. Under. Yeah, under for sure.
Oh, I don't know. The Eagles got exposed a little bit, so we'll definitely, we're going to see where this goes.
Thanks for tuning in tonight. This has been The Fade Route with D and Z. You can catch our podcast on Wednesday nights on the Anchor, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Until next time, stay faded, everybody.
Talk to you next week.
If you want to get in on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us in crowd.